to try to get Alison Lindrick and Grimes elected so that she would be extremely supportive of that legislation for sure. And, you know, it's so important. And, you know, folks don't realize the amount of money that's at stake for students, just like Brittany and others that are struggling to pay these bills. It's just, you know, they could have gotten a very good a break on these interest rates and, you know, decrease the amount of payments they had to make over a long term. And really, it's just another, you know, real example of, you know, how callous and, you know, unsympathetic our senator and his caucus is up there in Washington to the, you know, interest of people that are working, trying to get a job or get an education like they'd be encouraged to do. So insensitive. And it's just another indication or another example of, you know, how McConnell goes up to Washington and votes against everything he says he's for down here in Kentucky. He says he's for veterans, he votes against veterans. He said he's for the elderly, he votes against elderly. You know, he says he's for students, he votes against students. You know, he acts like he's for workers and he votes against workers every time, you know, or blocks legislation.
And we're going to really have to talk about that as soon as we come back from break, because it's definitely a very pressing subject and we got to talk about it. So I'm Brittany Sheets, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Have you noticed that the powers that be employ an entirely different standard for measuring the health of America's job market than they use for the stock market? They're currently telling us that the job market is improving. What do they mean? Simply that the economy is generating an increase in the number of jobs available for workers. But when they say the stock market is improving, they don't mean that the number of stocks available to investors is on the rise. Instead, they're measuring the price, the value of the stocks. And isn't value what really counts in both cases? As a worker, you don't merely want to know that 200,000 new jobs are on the market, but what they're worth. Do they pay living wages? Do they come with benefits? Are they just part-time and temporary? Do they include union rights? What are the working conditions, etc.? In other words, are these jobs or scams? So it's interesting that the recent news of job market improvement doesn't mention that of the 10 occupation categories projecting the greatest growth in the next 8 years, only one pays a middle-class wage. Four pay barely above the poverty level, and five pay beneath it, including fast food workers, retail sales staff, health aides, and janitors. The job expected to have the highest number of openings is personal care aide, taking care of aging baby boomers in their houses or in nursing homes. The median salary of an aide is under $20,000. They enjoy no benefits, and about 40% of them must rely on food stamps and Medicaid to make ends meet. Plus, many are in the, quote, shadow economy, vulnerable to being cheated on their already miserly wages. This is Jim Hightower saying, to measure the job market by quantity with no regard for quality is to devalue workers themselves. Creating 200,000 new jobs is not a sign of economic health if each worker needs two or three of those jobs to patch together a bare-bones living.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Hey, Union Edge listeners, this is Guillermo Perez, president of the Pittsburgh Labor Council for Latin American Advancement, encouraging you to join us on September 20th when we mark Hispanic Heritage Month with a celebration of Pittsburgh's most famous Latino, Roberto Clemente. The event will be held at the beautiful Clemente Museum and include guided tours, delicious Puerto Rican cuisine, and Chilean wine from Engine House 25 Wine. So don't miss it. No se lo pierdan. Saturday, September 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Clemente Museum in Pittsburgh. For ticket information, visit www.theunionedge.com.
The time is 6:33, and we just heard about from the Union Edge, and that program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. From our hands to yours, celebrating 41 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods, with an international flavor and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March 1st through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, all can be found online at Portland Saturday Market. prisonpipeline@gmail.com. Coming up next is Prison Pipeline at 6:30 or thereabouts, and at 7 is Hard Knock Radio, so please stay tuned.
Mass incarceration is the barometer, the indicator of mass injustice in a society. BPs are those in every land, throughout every era, who were in prison for fighting mass injustice. It is no different today regarding mass incarceration of BPs in the U.S. They must be freed.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Poetic Hip Hop Day of Action for former Black Panther and political prisoner Soon Diata Akoli on Monday, September 22nd at Anjoni Restaurant in Portland. There will be a writing workshop from 5 to 6 p.m. and a poetry reading open mic from 7 to 8:30 p.m. based on Soon Diata's writing prompt. Featured speakers include Rochelle Radizi Hart, Black Butterfly, Walida Imarisha, Ajamu Umi, and more. Again, that's the Portland Poetic Hip Hop Day of Action for Soon Diata Akoli on Monday, September 22nd at Anjoni Restaurant, 910 North Killingsworth Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Greetings, good evening, and welcome to the Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli, and this evening we are here with Mr. Ed Mead, who's based in Seattle, and also Mr. Tim Race from the B Media Collective, as well as a co-organizer for the Cascade Media Convergence, which is coming up this weekend, Friday, September 19th through the 21st. How are you guys doing this evening?
Just fine. Thank you, Adam.
Great. Thanks for being on. Ed, can you just talk a little bit about, just give a brief background of kind of who you are, how you got involved in doing work around, you know, prison justice issues and the kind of work that you're currently working on now?
My name's Ed Mead. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. And I was state raised, kind of ran wild as a youth. I started doing time at the age of 13. I spent about 35 years of my life behind bars. During the late 60s, I was radicalized as by the anti-war movement, the anti-Vietnam War movement, and became rights conscious while on the inside, and then became also class conscious. And so once released, I started doing work in support of prison issues. A lot of you may know that the 13th Amendment abolished slavery in the United States. What you probably don't know is that there was an exception that for people convicted of a crime, slavery is abolished except for those convicted of a crime. So we have 2.3 million slaves in the United States. In addition, these people are held in conditions of dependency and irresponsibility, disenfranchised from the political process. And so it is these kinds of basic the struggle against slavery, the struggle to extend democracy, to include the right to vote, to this category, to these millions, to these millions of Americans who are behind bars. So that's what I do. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Well, sure. More specifically, though, you know, you work exclusively with print media, and yes, you know, this evening, you know, we're talking about, you know, highlighting this. This media conference that's coming up this weekend, and Ed will also be up for the conference. And so, Ed, can you talk a little bit about the work that you're actually doing on the ground with the print media. I know some of it was in relationship in the last couple of years to helping get the word out, not just for to the general public, but also, you know, within inside the prisons for the prisoners during the Pelican Bay prisoner hunger and work strike. So can you talk about all that?
Sure, I can. That was actually more than just a couple of years of work. I am the editor of, and for about the last 14 years, I've been the editor of a newspaper, a quarterly newspaper called California Prison Focus. It has a print run between 3 and 7,000 issues, and it primarily goes into California prisoners, although some family members and, you know, progressive organizations and stuff also get the newspaper. Everybody is aware of the gang situation inside California prison, or what it used to be prior to this series of strikes. Well, for all these years I've been publishing this newspaper, I've been driving on the gang leadership about the racial divides, the gang divides inside California prisons, and how destructive that was. And a lot of prisoners would come to me with, these are SHU prisoners, these are gang leaders that we're talking about, who are locked up in the security housing units, would come to me with various schemes. You know, if you help me get out of the SHU, I can put an end to this, you know, this gang stuff. You know, if you'll help me, you know, it's all about getting over. I want to get over. I want to get out of the SHU. And so you should help me. And, you know, and I tell those guys, no, you know, we're all going to do this together. It's not going to happen. And finally it did happen with the first hunger strike. And that happened with 6,600 men participating. And as a result of that, there was a need for prisoners in the security housing units across the state of California to be in communication with each other about what's happening, what's going on, what are our issues, what progress are we making, if any. And so in an effort to meet that need, I started a monthly newsletter back in January of 2012. I think it was the second hunger strike, or maybe during the second hunger strike. And so I've been doing that for almost 3 years, and it is the scaffolding which I hope will be there to help develop the structure of some sort of prisoners organization. That's what needs to happen, is that that unity needs to be organized, structured, and disciplined before the next phase of this kicks off. And let me tell your listeners one more thing. The first strike I mentioned was 6,600 prisoners participating. The second hunger strike, which also lasted 3 weeks, like the first one, there was just under 12,000 prisoners participating in 13 prisons across the state of California. And on the final hunger strike, 30,000 California prisoners participated on the first day of the strike, and 2,600 prisoners refused to work on the first day of the strike. Those numbers went down considerably as the hunger strike went on, but the point of it is that when in the entire history of all humanity have we ever heard of any group of 30,000 people hunger striking out all at the same time, let alone it being prisoners? So we're on the cusp of something significant here inside the California prison system.
Mm-hmm. So Ed, what I hear you saying though is that there's like this amazing organizing that's going on, you know, inside and out of prison to make conditions better and hopefully maybe at the end all, you know, dismantle the prison industrial complex. But You know, for listeners, some people, you know, if you don't know somebody in prison or if you don't have family members in prison, very hard to reach out. And I think that the work that you've been doing is you know, kind of taking that Herculean feat of getting in touch with all these prisoners. And if you can talk a little bit about how do you actually do that kind of networking? I mean, I understand you were incarcerated yourself, so there's that kind of experience that you have. But even above and beyond that, I mean, how do people, you know, are able to do this kind of work? Because obviously, as you referred to it, they're kind of like these silenced insurrections as far as maybe the larger picture of media is concerned. And then what you're doing is trying to make those silences, you know, facts. So can you talk about
what we're trying to do? What I see my role as out here is my job is to amplify mm-hmm. the progressive voice of prisoners.
Right.
Let me talk just briefly about the agreement to end hostilities mm-hmm. That came out in August 2012 inside the California prison system. Most of your listeners are aware of just how bad the violence, the gang violence, was inside of California prison systems. The leadership of the California prisoners, these various gang leaders held in shoes across security housing units across the state of California, issued an agreement to end hostility signed by all gang members. Gang violence within the state of California has all but ceased since then. Of course, the guards are trying to claim credit for it, but the California prisons are undergoing a change of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and it's the print media on some level, right, that's been helping to promote that consciousness.
Yes, and let me say this about that. Back in the late 60s, if someone had asked me my opinion on the Vietnam War, I would have said something to the effect that we ought to, you know, bomb those gooks back into the Stone Age and pave it over. Not because I believed that, because I was a kid, and I'd heard some older men say something to that effect, and rather than having an opinion of my own, I just parroted whatever, you know, I'd heard elsewhere. Mm-hmm. As a result of people sending in print literature, progressives from the streets back in the late 70s or early late 60s and early 70s. This is the stuff that caused people like me to become first race conscious and then class conscious as a direct result of people on the streets, progressives, sending in print literature that asked questions that caused me to think about things in a different way, and to think about which side am I on. The people who wanted to bomb the Vietnam are the ones that supported the death penalty, were against parole, wanted to lock prisoners up longer, more death sentences, all that kind of stuff. Whereas the people who were against the war in Vietnam were the ones who busted Timothy Leary out of prison and who were mm-hmm. Against the death penalty and wanted to see more prisoners out. So that was the kind of stuff that helped me raise my consciousness, like I said, as a result, direct result of people out there sending progressive political literature into prisoners.
Mm-hmm. And Ed, you're going to be talking more in depth in this exact particular discussion we're having here this weekend at the Cascade Media Convergence.
Yeah, so, Saturday morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning. So make sure if you're, you know, interested in hearing more about this from Ed specifically, and you can ask him questions and all that at the conference. So in lines of talking about the conference, we're also here with one of the co-organizers for the Cascade Media Convergence, Mr. Tim Rice. And how's it going, Tim?
Pretty good, Adam.
Great. Thanks for coming back on. You know, we didn't get to talk much last time about the specific work that you do, aside from even organizing this conference, and you work with the B Media Collective. And B Media Collective, if probably a lot of our listeners are familiar with the collective here in Portland, they've helped to film, different activist events, and have made different kinds of pieces that highlight that kind of work that people are doing locally, regionally, and nationally. So can you talk a little bit about the importance of all this media, Tim, and the work that B Media has been doing as well?
Well, I've been working on media-related issues for a few years. In the last 4 or so years, it's been the B Media Collective, which is a local social justice video group. And we kind of feel that, if organizing isn't highlighted, then people really don't know about it. So it's a matter of how to make, ideas, issues relevant to people through means of communication. In our case, it's video. We've done, dozens and dozens of different issues through the videos we've covered. Some of them, Occupy, some of them prison issues. In particular, there was one about the JTTF a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago. So we feel like if there's no media attention, if we aren't making our own media, telling our own stories, then who's going to tell it for us? It's going to be, Fox News, and they're not going to ever tell us what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, can you talk a little bit about kind of getting involved with the conference, and what is the weekend going to kind of look like in general? What can we look forward to?
So we're going to have a full weekend. We just kind of finalized and announced our finalized schedule today.
Great.
It's out there on the website, which is www.cascademedia.cc. You can go to the schedule page and see everything. I mean, it goes on for a few pages, all the information. We're going to have, evening events, opening events on Friday, September 19th, which will be a movie night and a dinner by Anjoni's at the Musicians Union Hall. Then Saturday, we'll have a concert featuring Mike Crenshaw and some of his friends and other hip-hop artists at the Lotus Seed. And then during the actual conference, which will all be at the University of Oregon Old Town campus, located at 7 Northwest Cooch in Old Town, we're going to have about 25 workshop sessions starting around 10 a.m., going to about 6 p.m. on Saturday, and around 7 p.m. on Sunday. There'll be a number of prison-related ones, I think 3 in total. One will be Ed's talking about the use of print media in organizing for the Pelican Bay Uprising. Carlos Chavez will also talk about youth empowerment, kids who have been, incarcerated, and how they use media as a tool to tell people's, empower people's voices. And Claude Marx from the Freedom Archives will talk about how to use history as a tool for movement building. And those will all be on Saturday of the conference, if people are interested in what particular day or time that's happening.
Yeah, and you also have these strategy sessions that are kind of built into the conference that they look very interesting. Can you just kind of just talk about that for a minute? And there also is one that's specifically about print media, among other forms of media. But
mm-hmm. So we wanted to do more than just the normal conference where everyone kind of shows up, gives a workshop, and then they go home. No one has any plan as to what they're going to do afterwards. Just kind of like, oh, great, we got together and we told each other a bunch of stuff. But we want to have these, action-based sessions where people can discuss what they want to work on, how we can work on stuff. We have all these people from out the region. We're going to kind of take inventory of what people are doing, what they're interested in, and see how we can collaborate. I mean, we'd have no idea what people decide. It'll probably be made up by the participants themselves as to what they want to work on. But we want to build into it, that opportunity for we're all here, we're all talking about media, we all do media, what can we do together? So yeah, there'll be on Saturday, particular ones based around what type of media you work in. So if you do tech-related stuff, like computer-related stuff, there'll be one for that. Print media, there'll be one for that, those kind of groups, community alternative newspapers, other sorts of print projects, publishing as well. Video, which we'll be a part of, along with the Northwest Film Center and Freedom Archives. And a radio one, led by longtime radio activist Sakura Blue from Prometheus. And then on Sunday, we'll have issue-based ones, where we'll talk about a few particular issues that we thought were important, about carrying this work forward. Housing Justice is one B Media wants to team up with Right to Dream 2 on, Right to Survive Radio. Talk about how to build a media coalition, like give it a session just, you know, dedicated to that to see what people's ideas are, and one around academic and community collaboration, which is hosted by the Turnbull Center itself.
Well, those sound great, and we really look forward also to, you know, to seeing Ed's presentation. And Ed, we wanted to kind of get into this aspect, you know, for our listeners and for people that will be attending the conference, but it's kind of a two-part question, but you know, with your work, it seems like it's been pretty effective. And I guess, you know, maybe if I can ask the million-dollar question is, what has made it effective? What's effective about it? And the second part is really, you know, how do people get involved with this kind of work? I mean, there's obviously a lot of ways of doing it, a lot of organizations. I mean, as far as what you do, how do people kind of pick up the reins on that kind of work that's very unique, what you're doing?
Well, in terms of the first part of that question, back in the 70s, as you know, there was an effort to legalize marijuana. And, you know, everybody laughed at that. And today, recreational use of marijuana is legal here in Washington State. Back in the 70s, there was a budding gay liberation movement. Some people talked about gay marriage, but nobody ever thought that would come to pass. It just, you know, it just wouldn't. And the same with the laws against interracial marriages that existed in states like South Carolina. People didn't think that kind of thing would go away, and yet it has. And the same is true with respect to the rights of prisoners. That treating them like human beings may not be such a bad idea, particularly in light of the fact that the California's acknowledged recidivism rate is 70%. So if you have a factory, you're producing a product that has a 70% failure rate, well then maybe it's time to examine and to look at what might be going wrong here. And one of the things that could be going wrong is that you are actually holding people as slaves and depriving them of all their democratic rights, and as a result of this, you don't get good things as a result of doing bad things to people. And also as a result of this, just as there was a prisoners movement back in the 70s, unlike the marijuana movement or the gay marriage movement, the prisoners movement never gained traction. Well, what's different about today and back in the 70s is that today that traction is in the process of developing, and people can get involved in that in any number of ways, from keyboarding letters and articles handwritten by prisoners, get involved with any kind of publications that support prisoners, obtain progressive publications, send them into prisoners, involved with prisoner organizations that support progressive political prisoners, especially such as Portland Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Ed, is there any particular links, at least with the work that you're doing, that you might suggest people check out, websites or if there's Facebook pages?
They can read back issues, the current issue, the September issue of the Rock newsletter, as well as back issues at www.rocknewsletter.com. That's just one word, Rock Newsletter. And Rock, of course, is, you know, like a Rocky Pound, mm-hmm. with R-O-C-K.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That's great. And, you know, as far as strategy around building a movement around this work and kind of Northwest regional solidarity and collaboration, Tim, you know, as we just talked about, these strategy sessions at the CMC, the Cascade Media Convergence, but also what's happening a week after the CMC, it looks like the CMC will be bringing some kind of fresh ideas about doing alternative media and collaboration to the first inaugural Pacific Northwest Social Forum, which is happening downtown Portland at the First Unitarian Church. And there'll be different people's movement assemblies. And one of them is going to be about media, right? So sounds like you're hoping to bring something from the conference as well to that.
Yeah, definitely. They're meant to be complementary efforts. We'll be part of the media PMA that's happening at the Northwest Social Forum. We wanted to, you know, mobilize the media makers the week before. We feel like it's a complementary effort, you know, get the media people here, get them kind of involved in this process. I mean, the breakouts are kind of, you know, based off the idea of People's Movement Assembly and the Social Forum's idea of, you know, instead of just gathering in space, we're trying to, like, come up with some sort of agenda. Ours may be a little looser than theirs, but it's definitely meant to mobilize people and get talking about how media can support the wider movements going on regionally as well. So that's why we're doing it.
That's great. And you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. And we're just closing out the Prison Pipeline episode for this week. And before we do that, we want to thank our guests. And again, we've had Ed Mead, who's a former political prisoner and works on print media, will be at the Cascade Media Convergence. Thanks a lot, Ed. And we look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And also, just to mention that there is another People's Movement Assembly that's happening, among many, at the Pacific Northwest Social Forum. And that's one that is connecting issues about Palestine, immigrants' rights, and mass incarceration. And the title of that is From Palestine to the Americas, Mass Incarceration and Colonization. So that's another one that people can participate in and, again, kind of help to connect the dots, you know, on these different issues. And just before we close out, Tim, can you give us a quick rundown again for anybody that's just tuning in or didn't get those couple links that you mentioned for the conference and what the dates are?
Mm-hmm. The name is the Cascade Media Convergence. You can Google that, look it up on Facebook. There's all kinds of stuff there. The website is www.cascademedia.cc. And all the pertinent information will be there. And yeah.